Rob Herzog is with us, traveling as he often does, some other part of the world. Where are you right now, Rob?
I'm in Dubai. I flew in this morning and I'm here for a couple of days. I come back to London, then I'm going to, come back to South Africa, and then I fly to London for the ARC, the ARC conference, to listen to my heroes, Jordan Peterson, Constantine Kissin, Douglas Murray, Niall Ferguson, and others, Paul Marshall. It's going to be quite something. The Alliance for Responsible Citizenship.
Well, I'm looking forward to that conference as well. And I think a few people in the tribe will say, okay, so you went and did the lefties or the globalists at Davos. Good that you're going to go and do the righties or conservatives in London. It's going to be quite a week. But Rob, I want to address the elephant in the room. Let's start there, because we've had a lot of feedback from big business and big government saying, why the hell are you a platform for Rob Herzog? And what's his agenda? So I'm putting that question to you. What's your agenda? Why are you talking to us so regularly? And we have this every fortnight. You and I get together, and the tribe love it, the insights that you give them. But what's your agenda?
I think my agenda is to be a voice for the South Africans that aren't in the boardroom with Cyril or aren't able to stand up and speak on any public forum. But what I'm able to say is what everybody is saying around the braai is basically the unvarnished truth. And, I repeat what my dad said after my life got changed irreparably by public speaking at a BizNews conference. My dad said, you know, never been more proud of you for doing and saying what other people can't afford to do and say. And that's what I'm doing. But, you know, if I become repetitive or less relevant, I'm happy to step down. But for the time being, I'm happy to tell it like it is.
You've also made a mission to expose yourself and expose your ideas. And, you know, apart from our interviews, and long may they continue, you've now got your own channel on YouTube. You're expressing some very forthright opinions there, perhaps even more forthright than what you tell the BizNews tribe. Again, what's the agenda there?
The agenda is simply to try and reach an international audience. BizNews is somewhat international, but it's very much, you know, from a South African perspective. And I'd like to be able to speak to the international crowd along with the BizNews tribe and get the message out. Because what worries me terribly is we have a GNU government. In my view, it's going sideways, which is a whole lot better than if we had MK in power or ANC and MK. But going sideways is not good enough to fix the country. You know, we're not fixing the country. You know, the GNU is putting, as I say, lipstick on a pig. Its main role is to keep MK out, but it doesn't seem to be focusing at all on the next two most important priorities, you know, tackling crime and corruption and creating economic growth. You know, Cyril's lie at SONA, we're going to get to 3%. I mean, Botswana's at 3.3%, just across the road, capitalist economy, and socialist Cyril and his ANC clowns are just floating a balloon of saying 3%. They're not going to get there. There's no policy. So that's where I'm coming from. I'm trying to explain what's really going on in South Africa to a South African and an international audience. And that's all I'm trying to do. And I'm not doing it for financial gain. You know, this has endless negatives to it, endless negatives. But, you know, once you're in, you just keep going.
I've got a challenge for the tribe. Go back and watch the Sonas, Cyril Sonas. See what he promised us. I just remember off the top of my head, every child would have an iPad. Man, did we get excited about that. Well, I don't know how many children in schools have got iPads. Certainly that was a promise that was never fulfilled. But I'd love someone in the tribe or other members of the tribe to get together and to take each one of those Sonas and say, this is what he promised, this is what he delivered. And then we can start looking at these Sonas with a realistic eye in the same way that you have. But let's get back to the GNU. Yesterday, fascinating interview with Frans Cronje, who said that the GNU, in his opinion, has become a doormat for the ANC. Now, your pal, Gayton McKenzie, who must love you, Rob, because when you started saying that Gayton was the man, the whole world, it seemed, said, have you lost your mind, including myself. I said, are you nuts? And yet today, Gayton is the one politician who's come out of the whole GNU exercise with great credit. And he is a man who's showing his leadership qualities. But He thinks the GNU is a good thing, and he continues saying that. So who's right on this one, France or Gayton?
France. Gayton has to say what he's saying because he's part of the GNU, and he has bought into the priorities of keep MK out, you know, help fix his ministry, and make sure the GNU tackles at some point soon crime and deals with, you know, no economic growth. But, you know, he is in the sports, arts, and culture ministry. That's his job. He knows Cyril is isolated, completely isolated, and a lame duck. But his job in the GNU is to defend the GNU, and I respect that. You know, he's got a job, he's got to do it. But, you know, we will be having municipal elections in February 2027, and then we've got national elections in 2029. And, you know, even though he will, you know, bat for the GNU for as long as the GNU survives, he has to have his own agenda and his own Patriotic Alliance agenda, which I support. He is the only true conservative politician. He's the only businessman in the government, and he's the only true libertarian free market politician in that government. You know, I always say the DA is kind of a soft version of the Democrats, a wimpy version of the Democrats, which is a little bit cruel, especially in the South African environment. But Gayton is the true conservative, and I am a conservative. And, you know, I just wish that, you know, the Patriotic Alliance, Freedom Front Plus, and Inkatha could pull together and create maybe not a new political party. And I want to call it South Africa First, but maybe a movement that they work together for true conservative values, true libertarian values. Gayton's the man. There's no question about it.
Interesting point that you make there, because it's similarly in Argentina when Javier Milei came onto the scene as a libertarian. He was branded a madman by legacy media, and today he's the wonder of Davos. But you know, the other big point that was made yesterday by Franz Grenier is that he reckons the way the government of national unity, because you got to look at it that way, even though it's the ANC who's doing all the damage, the way they've been behaving themselves in this interaction with Donald Trump is threatening to bring 1985-type sanctions onto South Africa. He said the risks are growing. Now, I remember 1985, the debt standstill, interest rates going to 25%, hundreds of thousands of people being unemployed as a result of the collapse of many small businesses, people losing their homes, the Americans pulling out, other nations pulling out because they said, okay, South Africa, we're not going to roll over your debts. It was as simple as that. It wasn't a case of we're not lending you more money, which of course they wouldn't, but when the debts come up for, you got to repay them. And that was many people say that is what caused the end of, or certainly it hastened the end of apartheid. But if that were to occur, then surely anybody who's associated with that action and the action that's happening right now, and we can get into more detail on that in a moment, would be tarred with that brush, including Gayton.
Correct. America's going to do it. I'm telling you right now, America is going to absolutely pull the plug on South Africa. Sanctions, tariffs, it's going to put people like Andile, I can never pronounce his last name, Nkengiwana, Julius Malema, on the terrorist list. You know, assets will be frozen, you know, passports will be disallowed at certain places. It's coming. There's no question. America's hut full, and they deserve to be. I mean, you know, giving aid to us, and we just giving aid to our ANC-run government in South Africa up till recently, where every single decision in the United Nations, South Africa's voted against the United States. I'm not surprised. I'm surprised the U.S. even care anymore. I'm surprised they haven't pulled the plug completely on South Africa. And, you know, Joel Pollack, I didn't even bother listening to the Sona address. It's just a waste of time listening to Cyril's lies and promises. I don't, you know, the clapping seals in the audience. It's pathetic. I didn't even listen to it. I listened to Davi Ruert's excellent, excellent summary of Sona. That's the only one that actually tells the truth on what Cyril said. You know, Cyril's a liar. Someone wrote the speech for him. He probably didn't even read it in advance. I listened to the Joel Pollack interview on, I think it was the SA Jewish Report, was excellent. I mean, Joel Pollack was a lefty, saw the light. He's now a conservative, just says straight up, I'm a conservative. And, you know, he could well be the South African ambassador. US ambassador to South Africa, and he's tough as nails. And he just says South Africa deserves to get completely clapped for its behavior. And the ANC's brought it upon us. But let me tell you a subtle difference between 1985 and now. And I do think America is going to heap sanctions on us. And we're going to get hit really hard. In 1985, the NAT government actually cared about the impact of that on South Africa. They actually cared for all South African population and what it would do to the economy. The ANC don't care. The ANC don't care. They don't care that the vast majority of South Africans are unemployed, undereducated, poor, homeless, hopeless, living in shacks, because the more of them there are in this desperate situation that aren't in the formal economy, the more reliant they are on grants, the more reliant they are on the ANC, the more they vote for the ANC. It's entirely malevolent and evil. So I think the ANC, fat cats, Cyril and the gang, don't actually care. They're sort of saying, well, bring it on. You know, they think the Chinese and Russians will help, which they will at an incredibly disastrous price. But the ANC don't care. They do not care about the people. They care about looting, stealing, and feathering their own nests, and only ever have. It's
interesting, disgusting. Interesting to see if they care when the KFCs get closed and the McDonald's get closed, because that's really at the heartland. You can't get your KFC anymore. Yeah, you're going to get some pretty pissed off people in the
at the
bottom
level. I think it's precipitating. Alec, I think this is precipitating a necessary crisis. And everyone's going to say, oh, Rob, it's okay for you to say it. You can just be the last chopper out of Saigon. True. But at least I'm saying it. And I think the crisis is coming. I think we're heading now for the crisis. It's been accelerated. And let's see, you know, there's been a lot of racism in South Africa, anti-white, 140, somebody did the work on it. It's excellent. You know, I'd like to see the list of the 140, please. Whoever did that work, probably the Free Market Foundation, you know, David Ansara and team, superb, or AfriForum Sokolige, both superb. But there's a huge amount of anti-white racism that's been going on and on and on and on and on. And it's come to a head. You know, I'm calling the ANC a racist organization. You know, I'm calling out black racists where I see them. It's impossible that only whites can be racists. There are a lot of black racists in this country, and it's sickening, and we need to get over it. And Gaitner has always said there's a sell-by date from when you can keep blaming your ex-girlfriend or ex-wife. There's a sell-by date from when you can keep blaming apartheid, and that sell-by date has passed. You know, the ANC has failed this country. Wake up, South Africa.
But what would be confusing many people is that big business, legacy media, they tend to be supportive of the ANC. A little bit like, it reminded me a little bit like when Hansie Cronje, if you recall, was being called out by the Indian police. All of South Africa, myself included, said, that's not possible. The Indian police are wrong. That's our Hansie. That's our captain. So it was this patriotic, in a way, ignorance that superseded logic. And we've seen big business and certainly legacy media saying, bugger off, America. What do you think you know? Cyril's right. We must protect our sovereignty as a nation. We know what we're doing. What do you make of that? Is that malevolent? Is that just because people are distracted? Or is it because of a dark agenda?
Exactly. Let's deal with them separately. News 24 is just a voice for the ANC. It's a dreadful organization. Okay, that Adrian Basson is an ass-kissing, is a Cyril ass-kisser, bottom line. He was put in that position to do it. You know, just ensure that the DSTV and the others kept their licenses. He's the ANC ass kisser. Dreadful organization. But not all legacy media toe the line on this matter. You know, they're just a little bit scared of stepping out of line. So, you know, media is getting more and more fragmented. That's a good thing. I listen mainly to the podcasters, Biz News, read Daily Friend. I follow AfriForum, their publications, Free Market Foundation. I grudgingly read some of Daily Maverick's articles, but they're a bit lefty, wanky, anti-business. And the rest of media I ignore, you know, the SABC, they've kind of got to toe the line and say, that president stood up for South Africa. But let's talk about big business. And by the way, I'm going to stop calling corporate South Africa cows and colluders. Okay. I had a conversation on Sunday with someone who's been on BizNews a couple of times, a business hero. He runs a business that has 100,000 employees. And he said, Rob, he said, you know, I would love to stand up and do what you're doing. And I'm very proud you do it and you must keep doing it. But corporate South Africa is cornered. Corporate South Africa is the frog in the pot. You know, on every public board, every public company in South Africa is the PIC, which is the government. There's BEE, and BEE are never going to call out the government. I mean, they're just pigs at the trough. There are diversity, you know, directors. And the chief executive of these companies, male, female, whatever color, whatever shape and size, are surrounded by all of these entities that make it almost impossible for them to stand up like I do or you do and call out the government. And so therefore they are currently towing the line on the America thing. They're also very worried about their franchises. A Go is going to get canceled. All the other agreements are going to cancel. It's going to hit business really hard. It's going to hit farming really hard. It's going to hit the corporate community very hard. And they know it. And they're just trying to survive in their difficult patch. So I apologize to corporate South Africa for my 2 years of calling you cowards and colluders. I hate to say there's nothing you can do, but I know you're cornered and you've got, you know, sword of Damocles, gun to your head, and, you know, these nasty people surrounding you where you can do very little, including the unions. So on that note, I'm going to move on from the corporates. But what can they do? What can they do? They're trapped. Most South Africans are trapped like a frog in a boiling pot, and the pot's getting hotter. The only chance we have of breaking this deadlock that we're caught in is an external force. And that's what's coming. America has had enough. And that's going to create a dynamic. And you know the great expression, never waste a good crisis. Well, we've got one coming and coming soon.
Rob, that boiling frog analogy has been ascribed to Cyril Ramaphosa in a discussion. In fact, it was in a biography of Ambrosini's where he quoted Cyril as saying, I'll deal with the whites over 25 years like I would deal with boiling a frog in a pot. It's been disavowed in speech, but it certainly, when you have a look at the actions, you might be thinking that there was a lot of truth to that.
100%. I mean, it's boiling now. It's boiling now. And we are the frogs. They play a long game. You know, they've trained in Soviet Russia. You know, they were not very smart. They were not properly educated, but they were definitely propagandized by the Soviets. And this is the Soviet playbook. You know, play the long game. You know, we thought after the Second World War, you know, after the curtain collapse, the East, you know, the German East and West, Berlin Wall collapse, the Russia collapse. We thought we had won. We, the free market, the capitalists, the pro-democracy people worldwide, thought we'd won. But we were complacent. We had not put the knife through the beast. And the beast plays a long game. The beast are the leftists, the beast are the Soviets. And the beasts are, you know, the proxy for the beast are the ANC in this country. And they're playing the long game, and they are definitely achieving their goal. Frog, us, is boiling.
So what do you see happening now? You have said that the crisis is coming. Do you see an 1985 type crisis that accelerated the end of apartheid? Do you see this crisis that's happening now accelerating anything?
Yes, but it could go either way. You know, when the riot happens, when everyone hits the street, when the strikes and madness happens, the civil unrest, you know, Moosey said to me, it'll happen one day, but we just got to make sure that the people march at the ANC in Pretoria and not fry the country. You know, you can't control something once it's out of the box. And I mentioned the difference between 85 and today is that, you know, that government actually cared about the economy and all the people of South Africa, and they made the rational decision. This, we can't keep going. Let's do a deal. Whereas this crowd, the ANC, just don't care. They don't care if people die. They don't care if more people are unemployed. And they don't care if we deindustrialize. and our country collapses and our economy collapses. They don't care. They don't care. I wrote an open letter, which I might actually use as a, you know, my State of the Union address. I might do that on BizNews in a month or so, rewrite it a few weeks ago on how to fix South Africa. It was 10 points. I mean, everyone knows what they are. It's, you know, privatized state-owned enterprises, blah, blah, blah. It's pretty basic. The Free Market Foundation have an identical list, as does the Institute of Race Relations. It's very clear how you can fix this country. The ANC don't care. They don't want to fix the country. They want to loot and steal and feather their nests. And if you didn't read the Zondo Commission, I mean, it's clear as the driven snow.
But that would be illogical. And I say that because you have a group that runs the country, and let's be completely frank about that. Patrice Motsepe's sister is married to Cyril. His other sister's married to Jeff Radebe, and they're all great beneficiaries of the new South Africa, massive beneficiaries financially, including Cyril himself, who is a billionaire, which is extraordinary to think about. And if they didn't care, why then would they? That it just doesn't make sense, because if they don't care, then all of their wealth is going to be wiped out. Which is pretty clear what happens in this kind of a crisis. And those individuals themselves could get sanctioned internationally. They surely will have massive funds around the world in US dollars, and then the US's long arm can reach them. So I hear what you say, but it doesn't make a lot of sense if you're sitting in their shoes.
So how much power does Patrice really have, Cyril? Okay, he's a massive beneficiary of what's happened. He's made a fortune. On the positive side, he was the first person to sign the giving pledge with Bill Gates and Warren Buffett to give away a third of his money to charity when he passes. So shout out for him. But, you know, he gives, I'm guessing, 10 million rand to the DA and 10 million rand to the ANC. He feathers his nest. And has he ever stood up, ever, and called out the ANC? Has he ever said, guys, I think things are not quite going in the right direction. I really think we should be a bit more focused on free enterprise. No, he's at some Cannes Film Festival. He doesn't give a damn. He's just, you know, benefiting like all the other BEE people, you know, chomping away at the trough, trying to get as much as they can before it falls apart. They don't care. You are logical. I like to think I'm logical. The business tribe are logical. These people don't care. And logical minds can't understand that.
So paint a scenario for us of what is likely to happen over the next 5 years. It only took 5 years after the Rubicon speech for apartheid to be completely vanquished, which many at the time of 1985 would have said was absolutely impossible. Paint us the scenario, the upside and the downside.
Well, the upside is we bang along going sideways and going nowhere at 1% economic growth. And, you know, the government doesn't use the warfare of EWC to just take the watches off our arms, which they can do now. It's like having a loaded gun in a bedroom with children running around. At some point, one of the kids is going to pull the trigger. That's what EWC is. So the positive, the hope over experience, is this: we keep going sideways. You know, more and more talented people leave the country. I think a lot of people will take up the offer, the very generous offer of Trump to go to America. Maybe Australia, New Zealand will, you know, offer the same thing. And then, you know, both those countries' IQs will go up and rugby skills and cricket skills will go up by poaching all our South Africans. And, you know, more and more people who can leave will leave. And this country will just slowly de-industrialize and end up being, you know, a medium income, impoverished, useless country. And that's the positive. The negative is we have an economic collapse. The rand goes to 50 to 100. And I see this in the next 12 months. Everybody shifts into gold or Bitcoin. You see the price of gold going up already and externalizes their capital as quickly as possible. All the young graduates leave, bang, you know, they don't even think about staying. And there's an economic collapse of sorts and civil unrest. Serious civil unrest. So I'm more on the downside. I'm 55% downside than upside. I think America coming in swinging is a good thing. But because we have an ANC that doesn't care, they're just looters, I think this could go horribly wrong. I'm pretty negative right now.
So the real upside, I guess, of all of that would be a Damascene conversion by those who are in or calling the shots in the government of national unity, using the other parties as doormats, as France says, and basically opening their eyes and saying, goodness, we've got to a point where we really have pushed it too far. You know, that story of France is about the bayonet, the Soviet approach of pushing the bayonet in and you hit mush until eventually you hit steel. A realization that the bayonet has been sent much too far. We've got to get this economy going, otherwise we all lose. That surely has got to be the real upside here.
Yeah, but where's it going to come from? You know, in 1992, Sweden was, you know, doing 100% income tax, had collapsed economically, the currency was worth nothing. And they had a Damascene moment where, you know, their finance minister stood up and said, this is unsustainable. We've got to go the other way. It's not working with socialism. Let's go the other way. Let's try capitalism. And, you know, they all went, fine, let's try it. But those are logical, intelligent people. Who in the ANC is that person? Give me one name of a reformer, one name of an inspirational individual in the current ANC cabinet that could stand up and hold the torch in the air and say, let us try the other direction. It's not Cyril. I mean, he lacks spine and cojones. I mean, it's a man with nothing in him, a sock puppet. Who there? You know, Enoch Godaguada? Maybe, but is he strong enough? I didn't see anyone else. Who's going to do it? You know, Gayton's gaining in popularity, but who of the ANC would ever have the courage to stand up and say, this is wrong, let's go in another direction? They'd be kicked out of the ANC.
Maybe it's just because they haven't emerged yet. But if you have a look at another scenario, which is being painted in certain quarters, in the past, there have been lots of toenadering between the Afrikaners and the Zulus, and i.e. you would be looking at the Freedom Front Plus and the IFP stroke MK. MK is definitely painted in South Africa as being worse than crazy. But strange things have happened, Rob. If the other parties were to get together, they could get rid of this ANC. They could change the country. They could reset the whole situation. If you are saying that it's impossible for the ANC to reset, then surely we've got to consider, and people in the DA have got to be considering some kind of an alternative. And why not explore the opportunity of finding an alternative to this government?
Who? I mean,
Jacob.
You know, if anything, the alternative is hard left. It's the lunatics of the MK and the others. You know, if you put ANC, MK, EFF, that's 66% of the voting population are in favor of socialism and left-wing lunacy. 66%. And as you rightly said, you know, Elon Musk was asked, does South Africa stand a chance? And he thought about it for a long time and then said, demographics don't lie. You know, 25 million people on social grants, poverty, unemployment. You know, turning this around requires a Damascene moment. But the only Damascene moment people that have any power, strength, legitimacy, and spine aren't in the ANC.
Argentina could do it. So what's to stop us?
Argentina took 100 years. It was 1920. In the 1920s, they were one of the richest countries in the world. It's 2020. Took 100 years of socialism to destroy the economy for them to wake up and vote in Javier Milei. You know, I spoke to Prince Mashele, who's, I hope you can get onto Biz News. I mean, he is beyond extraordinary. He's highly intelligent. Thursday. Okay, great. And he said, you know, he sees, you know, potentially in 5 years' time, the ANC dropping below 30%, MK going up to 30%, the DA at 25, and then he left the rest open. But I would see the Patriotic Alliance at 15. And then you still have the ANC saying, you know, would we do a deal with the DA or the MK? I mean, and that's in 5 years' time. So nothing is going to happen between now and then politically, unless there's a crisis. And I don't know what that crisis will be. It's quite scary when you think of the options. I'm sorry to be negative, Tribe. I'm sorry to be negative, Alec, but you know, everyone I talk to, they're either delusional, like corporates and mainstream media. They're just trying to toe the line because they're too scared. And America is just hurtful. They've had enough, and I don't blame them. You know, and then there's Russia and China folding their arms, knowing that they own the ANC and come to data. You know, it's and caught in the middle, in the boiling pot, are us frogs.
I'm sure there were many people who felt the same way ahead of the Rubicon speech in 1985, when, if you recall, Pickbert, who was then foreign minister, went around the world, told the world, we're ending apartheid, things are going to change in South Africa. The whole international media was in force at that small meeting, provincial meeting of the National Party in Durban, and then P.W. Botha decided he wouldn't cross the Rubicon. He at least had, up until that point where he changed his speech, he had a Rubicon moment. Are you saying to me today, it is absolutely impossible, no miracle will happen with Cyril Ramaphosa, that Rubicon moment is not going to happen, here's our bed, this is the one we're going to lay in and actually make your plans accordingly?
So look, let's look at who the most powerful people in the ANC are, or most popular, okay? They're the ones sitting in the cabinet hoping to be the president next. Yeah, it's not going to be Gwede, but it could be Fikile Mbalula. And Fikile Mbalula, you know, I don't think he has any principles. He's just sort of, you know, a bit silly and a bit, you know. But he's popular, and he's not going to become the president under any current scenario. You know, Cyril doesn't really particularly want him. Paul wants the job. Mashatile, he's not going to get it. That nasty Lesufi ain't going to get it. And Cyril's going to try and give it to someone younger and female, is what I've heard. But imagine, well, I'm just floating a balloon here. Imagine if Fikile Mbalula stood up and said, this isn't working, guys. You know, I've had a deeper look. And let's try radical free market capitalism and see if we can get economic growth and people out of poverty. If he today came out of the box and did it, he's not going to become president. This is probably his shot. Who knows who would support him? I mean, even Gwede might say it's get behind him, you know? I don't know. I'm floating a balloon here. I'm just pulling it out of left field because Fikile does have a big following. Or Fikile then one or two others bail out and they join, you know, Freedom Front Plus and Carter and Patriotic Alliance to form the true capitalist free market party, and then they suck all the top people out of the DA. Can you imagine that? I mean, maybe it's madness and fanciful, but I'm now trying to be hopeful. I'm trying to look for a solution, but I don't see a leader out of the ANC other than maybe Fikile. And he's not the smartest tool in the box.
You'd have to scratch your head to say which of the politicians are the smartest tools in the box when you get to that point. But perhaps South Africa needs another FW de Klerk or a Gorbachev who's prepared to sacrifice
Both were in charge at the time. So you're saying Cyril will do that?
I'm not. I'm asking. I'm looking for hope. And I'll tell you why it's so important right now. Unfortunately, on social media and legacy media, they're all saying, well, Afrikaners will never leave South Africa. Linda interviewed Neil Diamond, who's from the South African Chamber of Commerce in the United States. He said, after the speech of Donald Trump's, there was so much demand, their servers crashed. He said they have engaged with 50,000 people over a couple of days who are wanting to go into the United States. If Donald Trump opens that door, as he has with his executive order, there are millions upon millions of people around the world who want to get into the United States and can't, legally, that is. Some of them have been getting in illegally, but focus on the legal immigrants. If he opens that door to South Africans, it's a nonsense to say that people aren't going to go. Of course people are going to go, and that there's the evidence for you. And Australia, New Zealand, potentially doing the same.
I 100% agree, Alec. I think any young Afrikaner would jump at the opportunity. It's the older ones that you're listening to, the people that have vested interest in farms that can't move, who are the bitter enders, you know, guys kind of my age, who are saying, you know, I've lived all my life here, I can't see myself moving, or I have a farm and I can't leave it, or I'm, you know, mortgages. But the young generation, bop, gone, every single one. I see very few Afrikaners that wouldn't jump at that opportunity. And by the way, Afrikaner, it's not just, you know, a cultural, you speak Afrikaans, you can come in, you can't come in because you're English speaking. I think it's what Donald Trump is saying is you're intelligent, educated, dynamic people who ought to have a good future. I welcome you with open arms. And you know, and don't think he cares whether it's white, black, green, or yellow shapes and sizes. I think he's just saying, South Africa's going down the plug, we'll take your best people, which is genius. I mean, if I was running some tinpot country, America's not tinpot, if I was running some country that really needed a bit of dynamism, let's say I was running Ghana, I'd open the floodgates to South Africa. I'd say all South Africans who have a matric or a degree or some skill are welcome to come to my country. That country would boom.
It's an interesting point you make there, because when you try and look at Trump's motivations, his motivations are, he's very transactional. We know that in everything that he's done, and he's quite proud of that fact. He's doing something that is going to benefit America. So by opening the gates, he's saying, let's pull in the best skills. Now, it takes an idiot to not appreciate that if you lose those skills and that tax base, the rest of society has got to suffer. So the consequence of this, my scenario to you is, hang on, guys, we can't lose these people who are keeping the country going. I mean, what have we got, a million taxpayers who carry
Alec, the ANC doesn't care.
Of the burden? You really
you're
think
being
so,
logical, right? Alec, you're being logical again. The ANC don't care. They don't care. They actually deep down go, let all the whiteys disappear. We don't care. They're a cynical, evil organization. You think they're logical. They're not logical.
Every organization, every group of people have some who are cynical and nasty. But human beings are generally not. And I would be betting on people within the ANC saying, hang on a minute. If I could join the dots and see the future, I know that the past 30 years have been pretty bad. Unless they've been pretty bad and we've sacrificed for something better in future, then we got to do something about this. And maybe our leaders are taking us over the abyss. Perhaps that's my optimistic
way. But then,
Alec,
what do we get on the Biz News show? Some of the following people, okay? Obviously, Prince Mashele this Thursday. Incredible. Ask him this question. Are the ANC cynical, malevolent, incompetent, evil? Please ask him that. I met him recently. What an impressive man. Get Moletsi Mbeki on. Get Omri Magegole on. He believes the ANC should be out of power and revitalize itself. Okay? He thinks it can be done. And let's try and get Enoch Gonogwana or David Masondo on. Now, but I think the politicians aren't able to speak honestly. They have to toe the line. And then get Gayton back, you know, get him on, because he'll tell the truth. He tells it like it is.
Well, it's only a month away. In fact, a month today that we are going to have Paul Mashatile and Gayton and, of course, yourself amongst our 28 keynote speakers at the Biz News Conference. So we're going to get all of those guys there. I'm looking for one more, Rob. I've had a late cancellation. Okay. I had a late cancellation, which has opened up a slot, and that sounds like a good call. Well, we'll talk to him on Thursday and see how that goes. Yeah, Rob, thank you for taking time out of your very busy schedule for honoring our fortnightly engagement. More strength to the story that, or the message that you're giving people. If nothing else, you're getting people to think. And that has got to be the foundation of any progress in society. Just think. If you don't agree with Herzog, fine. But at least think about what he has to say. Don't say he's a malevolent force, because that is one thing that I could absolutely tell you isn't true. Rob's not in it for himself. He doesn't have to be here. He could be quite happily sitting, enjoying the fruits of his labors, and it is his labors. It's as he's discussed many times, he's not a trust fund baby yet, I suppose, as you keep telling us. But the reality is that we appreciate your frankness, your openness. And I like the way you put it right in the beginning of this conversation, Rob, where you said you are a voice for many who don't have a voice. And I think that that is why hundreds of thousands of people follow what you say and keep telling me, man, that Rob Herzhoff, he really tells what I would like to be saying, but no one is listening. So thanks again. Hope you have a very good trip to Dubai and look forward to seeing you in London next week. Rob Herzhoff is a capitalist activist, and I'm Alec Hogg from BizNews. Cheerio.